David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. And today we have a very special guest. We have Kimberly Collins, and she is an Enneagraph coach, and she is just an amazing person. She works with a lot of businesses, and she helps businesses get back on track. And today she's going to talk about a few topics that she feels is very important and very near and dear to her heart. So, Kimberly, tell us a little about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Stacy. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. So like you said, I'm Kimberly Collins. I'm an Enneagram coach and consultant for small business owners, team leaders, and teams. And basically what I do is I come in and I help team leaders and business owners create a more harmonious workplace environment, which in turn helps increase profitability, productivity, and improves customer service. And this is all through using personality typing systems such as the Enneagram and Myers-Briggs.
That's amazing. Now, you know, we were mentioning, you know, things have changed so much. And when you have a business or you have, you know, an industry that is really, things aren't harmonious, you know, let's look at COVID. You know, they were in lockdown for a long time, then they had to come back, then everything has changed, you know, and life is completely different. Now they gotta go back from one extremity to the next. And they're in, you know, there's new rules, new regulations, new things going on. Things are done differently. And that can be very stressful on people. And when people are stressed, sometimes they take it out on others, you know, because it's just a natural human thing that people do. They don't mean to all the time, but it just happens. And that could bring more stress into the business force. Now, with your experience, you know, what are some of the things you'd like to talk about that you feel have a huge impact on businesses and that businesses should be aware of that could actually help them run a smooth, strong business that's really, you know, has a really good team that's able to be productive?
Absolutely, Stacey. And you're absolutely right that the workplace harmony, or if we use a different word, the psychological safety of a workplace is absolutely paramount to having employees stay engaged, especially in these days where we have a lot of millennials and a lot of Gen Z coming in, and they want to come into an environment where they feel engaged, they feel connected, they feel like they are contributing something to the greater whole, and they go home and they leave it there, meaning that the drama of the workplace isn't riding in the car passenger seat with them on the way home and sitting with them at dinner kind of in their brains for the rest of the day. So creating that psychological safety is absolutely paramount to creating a more harmonious workplace. And one of the ways that we can do that is by creating a better understanding of the people that we work with. And so using tools such as the Enneagram, which for those who don't know what the Enneagram is, it's a typology system, which means a personality typing system that is based on the idea that there's 9 valid perspectives of the world. So meaning that each of us are walking around with one of the 9 valid perspectives, like a lens we put over our eyes, and we see life through that lens. And that lens is made up of the why of why we do certain behaviors. It's called our core motivation. So why we show up the way we do, why we communicate the way we do. It's all based on this core motivation. And the core motivation is made up of things like, what are we afraid of? What do we absolutely desire? What are we moving towards? What are we moving against in order to get what we deeply, deeply want? So that why behind things. And it's super important to be able to understand that about the people that you're working with, even opening teams up to the idea that somebody sees the world differently than you do. And that is totally valid and absolutely normal. Help create a little bit more space around some of those interactions that we have. Because like you said, Stacy, it's just natural human nature that when we are stressed, we start to take it out on the people next to us, the people that it's easiest to be stressed with. And so using the Enneagram and bringing it into the workplace allows us to create a little bit of psychological space, around some of the things that we do and some of the things that we experience from other people, just by understanding them better. And through that self-awareness, then we can make some improvement. And make better choices and respond instead of react.
Now, I think you made a really good point. You were mentioning that, not everybody sees the world with the same pair of eyes. And, a lot of times you will see people, they think that because they see things a certain way, everybody has to see it that way. And they're not open-minded enough. Well, they could be, but they don't get it that other people may do things differently, they may see things differently, they may react differently. But if you understand each other and you can communicate well, you can actually, have a productive relationship with your coworker. And have you
Absolutely.
come across that in your work that, people are just, they see things a certain way, they think they everyone has to see that way, and the communication is kind of babbled a little?
Absolutely. And I think that's again just a natural human response that the assumption is that how we see the world is the number one only way that there is to see the world. And we actually judge each other based on their actions through our lens. And so if it doesn't make sense initially to us, we look at it and take offense or make assumptions that are negative when the other person is responding in their own lens and their actions make sense to them and are non-offensive. And so, yes, definitely being able to understand the why behind what we do and how that shows up allows us to give more grace. Open up more space for interpretation, not immediately take offense to what people are saying or
Yeah.
doing around us. Yeah, so even just that small idea of your perspective is not the only one out there is absolutely paramount to creating a more harmonious workplace because it just helps cut down on that amount of assumption
Yeah.
that can go in.
Now you said that there are several different lenses. Like, can you talk about the different types and then maybe give us a little information on how to deal with those types too?
Absolutely. So there's actually nine types in the Enneagram, and they're all motivated by different core motivations. And it's usually based on something that they desire and something that they are afraid of. So so type ones are perfectionists. So they desire to be good and they're afraid that they are actually not good. Our type twos are our givers or our caretakers, and they are desire to be loved and wanted and are afraid that they're unwanted or unloved. Our type threes are our achievers. So in the US, this is something that we see a lot of, or we see at least an overlay or an emphasis on this. And they are, they desire to be a significant person and be successful, and they are fear or trying not to fail or appear to be a failure. And our type fours are our artists. So they desire to be unique and they are afraid of being normal or also that there's something wrong with them. Our type fives are you see them a lot in our engineering. So they're very deeply intellectual people and the desire to be seen as very capable or competent, and they are afraid of feeling incompetent. Our type sixes, you see them a lot in organizations, and they're just absolute wonderful community people, but they desire to feel safe, and they are afraid of being without support or feeling unsafe. And our type sevens are those happy-go-lucky people. If you know anything about the Enneagram, most people will say, "Oh, I want to be a seven," but they are the people who they want to be, they want to be happy. And I know that everybody says they want to be happy, but they want to feel fulfilled. They want to feel satisfied. And they are our classic FOMOs. So the fear of missing out, that is the thing that they fear the most. And our eights are our dominant leaders. They are people that you will see in a lot of leadership positions because they desire to be in control and they fear to be under somebody else's control and out of control. And then our nines are our wonderful peacemakers. They desire to be in harmony with everyone, and they fear being in conflict. So these are just absolutely the quickest snapshots ever. And all of those desires and fears, there's kind of a why underneath all of it that goes into ego structures that were developed when we were little people just trying to survive in this world. But these, and it's clear too that the Enneagram is a description of what kind of box you're already putting yourself in, and that the goal when diving into the Enneagram is to be able to be aware of the box that you're in and how you can make steps outside of that as well. Show up in a more responsive way instead of a reactive way.
I like that. Now, can you be like a borderline? Because I think you mentioned like through the nine, like I could pick out three of them that I could probably fit into, you know. So, you know, do people have like borderline types also?
Absolutely. So the Enneagram is a really wonderful dynamic system. So it not only takes into account like a core type, you can have wings, which are types on either side. Some a type on either side that you're leaning into a little bit more. You're not that type. You're just taking on some characteristics. You can also have be at a certain level of self-mastery. So we have all of each Enneagram type in each of us. We just lean on one the most. So if you see yourself in a lot of other types, you certainly could have elements just in being someone of higher growth pattern in your life. You know, maybe you've gone through some good growth and you can kind of adopt some of those things. And you could also have wings and arrows as well. So there's places that we go in stress that's a little bit different than our core type, and we can also go places in growth. That's a little bit different. So it's a complicated, nuanced system. But what I like about it is allows for a lot of growth. So somebody who, say, is typed as a type two, you don't have to stay there. And you might not always be at this mid-range healthy level. You might be higher and feel more open and expansive in what you're able to do, or you might be in a really stressful space and just, you know, kind of own that you're going to be kind of acting from a more reactive space. So it's a great typology system for allowing a lot of nuance to it.
And it probably could also help you, like when you're working with clients, you know, to really have a really strong relationship with them. When you understand who's across the table from you, who's sitting in that chair, you can actually understand how you pro the best way of communicating with that person and the ways you probably should word things and say things and react a certain way.
Absolutely. So every type has it's a certain way that they're going to be able to receive communication the best. So you're absolutely right. You know, so for those that, you know, really are afraid of conflict, or maybe, you know, relationship is a number one priority, you're going to approach that a lot differently than somebody who wants it straight and to the point. Please don't waste my time. And it allows you as the coach to be able to really customize how you're approaching topics so that they can receive it in a way that's the most beneficial for them.
Now, when you go into a lot of these companies and businesses, what are some common problems that you see a lot, and what are some of the solutions to those problems?
Sure. So I see, you know, specifically to the Enneagram, I'll see, team leaders or small business owners wanting to make a change, you know, wanting to create that psychological safety. Let's get the team on the same board. Let's improve our conflict skills. And the first mistake I see is that they skip themselves, because that's the best and most important place to start is with the team leader or the small business owner. Whoever is the most influential person in that team structure needs to be doing the most work they can. You know, just like if you want to improve a family, you start with the parents. If you want to improve the classroom, you start with the teacher. It's the same thing here. A more self-aware, responsive, not reactive leader is going to create the most psychological safety for the team to be able to start their exploration. So I see team leaders make that mistake a lot. The other mistake I see is coming in and typing their employees without really the employee buy-in, almost like it's a party game. So it being like, oh, you're a type six. That's so a six thing to say. And I mean, who doesn't love a good party game? I mean, I love the memes and all that stuff, but that's not what's conducive for employee growth or a personal growth at all, is to have somebody type you and then stereotype you as well. So the
Yeah.
Enneagram is very nuanced. Look at, our core motivation, the why of what we do something could cause us to act in a way that makes us look like a different type, but
Yeah.
that doesn't mean we're that type. And
Right.
so it needs to be treated with the gravitas of presenting somebody with the opportunity to grow, letting them choose that opportunity to grow, and letting them decide what is my core motivation, and keeping out all the fun, and I know they're so fun stereotypes, because ultimately they're not helpful. We
Right.
really want people to be taking, not taking it seriously, because that makes it sound like it's not interesting, but taking it with the idea that somebody's being very vulnerable. So we want to create that space of saying, you can be vulnerable here, and we're not going to make fun of you. We're not going to trivialize your experience. So
Right.
those are two big mistakes I see people do.
And I can see why it's so important for the leader to really have, to really be the person who initiates and to understand it and learn how to speak to their workers and their employees. Because if the leader isn't showing good mentorship, that could throw the whole chemistry off of the company, it seems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And leaders not working on themselves and understanding, these are my triggers. This is how I react poorly. This is what makes me up.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Jump all the way from okay to in conflict, or then you're not establishing the baseline for group growth, which is psychological safety. If your team doesn't feel like they can approach the leader with feedback, this is what's going on in the team, or these are the problems we're experiencing, and feeling like that's going to be received,
Yeah.
then there's no point to go to that next step and asking your team to be vulnerable with things that, this is what I'm afraid of. This is what I deeply desire. So it's really the paramount spot to start, is that leader feeling aware and less reactive to the
Yeah.
things that can trigger them.
Right. So basically, taking a step back, taking a deep breath, and then really learn how to communicate in a positive manner with their employees.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so it's both that, like, modeling. I'm going to model what it is to be responsive without being reactive. I'm going to model taking that time, taking that deep breath, and collecting all my reactions and making a conscious step, and also then setting a no tolerance of things like gossip or backstabbing, or the meeting outside the meeting,
Yeah.
all that kind of stuff that can really hurt the workplace
Oh, yeah.
in the moment and long term.
Oh, yeah. Now, what are some of the tools and techniques that you teach that you find very effective in the workplace?
Yeah, so I feel like the first things that I like to have people do is discover what is your type, what it is it that's kind of motivating you. It's like that self-awareness piece is the biggest thing. What's kind of underneath everything? And then the next step I like to do is to say, okay, so how is that affecting your life right now? So just kind of taking them through those steps of, let's take a look around. Let's start with this part of your life. How are these motivations and fears showing up here? How about here? And really working through that, you'll start to see this pattern. Wow, my fear of being unwanted makes me, a horrible people pleaser. And
Yeah.
that's really bad here and here and here. And then the next steps would be then, okay, so how do you want to take small actions towards creating a better, healthy response? So
Right.
for every type, it's a different issue that you're going to deal with. Every person, it's a different issue that you're going to deal with. But at first, you have to become aware of what it is that's going on underneath, see it in action, explore it, really get into the depths of it, and then be able to choose. Take those small baby steps every single day. Not clear the whole table and start from scratch, but move things around, get used to it. Yeah, taking those small steps.
Now, when you do these processes, is it a long-term process? Do people catch on easy and start utilizing these tools? Or is this something that's going to take time and take effort within the whole entire group?
Yeah, so it's kind of a little bit of both, right? So you can, like I said, with the leaders, it's always a great idea to start there. And I would say that, becoming aware of the things you're doing, where you're doing them, and how to do it differently, it's kind of a wash, rinse, repeat process. And so there's an element of teaching it doesn't necessarily take a very long time. There's a quick turnaround of benefit, but implementing it and sticking it, that's where the wash, cycle, repeat will always go. So what's great about the Enneagram is a consultant can come in and teach the team kind of the concepts, and you start getting that payback right away. However, it's up to the team leaders as well as the team to keep the things going. So the quick return is, opening people up to the idea that people understand things from different perspectives. Maybe somebody interacts in a different way than you, is triggered by different things that you are. And it's about kind of keeping that consistency of reminding yourself and others what you've learned, and then how you're going to do things better. And it can be incremental, but it has to be consistent. So you don't always have to have the consultant come back in and keep doing things, but it is some kind of consistency to get it to be a habitual way of doing things that's different than what you have.
I would think that make people feel valued would be a big aspect in this, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People can't grow if they don't feel safe and loved. That's like the paramount thing first for anybody to grow is, first they're looking around going, am I safe? And then they're looking around and saying, am I connected, respected, am I loved? And then they can grow. Because otherwise you're just making maybe somebody, if they're, needing to have some kind of coaching because of poor behavior or poor performance, maybe they'll make those changes in the moment. But if they don't feel like they're safe to really make the changes, to really feel like, I'm exposing a really vulnerable part of myself, and is that going to be okay? Then growth isn't going to really take place. It'll be a modification of behavior that will pop up somewhere else. That same idea will pop up somewhere else. So it's really about, like you said, valuing the employee as a person you want on your team. And that comes through, even if you don't verbalize it. It's kind of all in the attitude of the workplace.
And I would think having meetings, consistent meetings with your employees, hitting everyone on track, making sure that maybe you mentioned some of the things they did that week were great, and that they're appreciated, and that you like we talked that they're valued and so forth. I think things like that probably are in your tools and in some of your strategies as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So coming up with some kind of consistent way to interact with that employee that's meaningful to them. There's a lot of employees who will be like, please don't make me come to a meeting. Please don't make me check in like this. And then there's going to be employees who say, I will take any interaction you will give me that fills my bucket. So it is a lot of that meeting the employee where they are too. And the team leader has to know themselves too, to say, maybe I'm not an extroverted type of person, and I've only got this much interaction in me, and I'm going to spend it on the person who, needs it for today in this way, and it's not going to burn me out. So it's about that kind of balance, but also knowing who you're dealing with. Not every employee wants to have a meeting. And then there's employees who are like, let's do it. Let's do a meeting every day, a social hour, whatever it is. Really customizing it. And like you said, that's knowing who you're dealing with is a way of communicating their value to you.
Right. I think, it's really important that people, communication is key. And I think that's where sometimes, things get off centered. If you don't understand where each employee is at and what they're thinking, because they could have the wrong perception of what's supposed to be really done and what expectations are really, needed. And when that happens, it's that miscommunication, everyone's on a different level, on a different wire, and then things aren't happening right. And then I think that's when the frustration comes in. And you know that you're supposed to do it this way. Well, no, I didn't know I was supposed to do it this way. Nobody told me, and I think, that communication is key, and really being able to communicate. And like you said, I think understanding each person's type is so important. I really think that they should really teach that in every business, is to teach people about the different types of people, who they are, and how to deal with them. Because if people understood better how to deal with all these different types of personalities, I think communication would be really, really excel to a level where everybody would be reacting productively in the business. I think it's a lot of times people don't get it. They don't understand the different types, and they don't understand how to react to those types.
Absolutely. I mean, you just hit the nail on the head that, the communication is both what is being spoken and what's being heard. And when that breaks down, because we are different people and we hear different things, and say it's, hitting somebody's trigger that, the person speaking it had no intention of that, but the other person's hearing, you're incompetent, you did this terribly, you're a failure, you're unwanted. You're going to get a reaction that you had no idea was going to happen. And so sometimes, too, it's knowing what these conflict triggers are. And the other thing is knowing when you did it. So, knowing as the team leader, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I can hear that I've triggered you. And then having the skills to, I wasn't saying this, but I was saying this, but I understand the reaction. It's absolutely that the communication is absolutely paramount for, getting anything done, for one, but also keeping that workplace.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Harmony really on track.
Yeah, and I would think too is learn how to forgive and to understand where that person's coming from. Like you mentioned before, you never know what kind of day they may have. You never know what they were going through previously. And to be able to not hold resentment towards that person and to let go and to be able to, okay, they said this, either think about their type or think about, who they are as a person and what you know about them, and then realize, okay, it wasn't exactly as bad as I made it in my head. Maybe, I'll let it go and we'll just move on, and just try to move on with it.
Absolutely. And you spoke to absolutely a crucial part of these conversations is the stories we make up in our heads. So that's such a big part of, triggering somebody is not only them immediately, say, hearing their fear and going ballistic, but it's also the stories we tell ourselves about what happened. So really taking a step back and saying, what were the actual facts? And now I can see where they were triggered, and I can see where I was triggered. So now moving forward, what do we need to do? So it's about creating that space, so that we can choose to respond instead of react.
Exactly. Now tell me a little about your book. You had mentioned to me earlier that you wrote a book. Can you tell me a little about it?
Yeah, so I wrote a book. It's called Enneagram in the Workplace, and it was inspired by the idea that the Enneagram can be so incredibly helpful for the workplace. Just day to day, Monday morning, 8:30, something's happened. You need a quick reference to, a guide to what happened. But the resources out there right now are these beautiful deep dives into the Enneagram that take a little bit of time to read. And I love them because that's what I love. But they might not be what the busy business owner or the team leader is going to go to figure out how to move forward with a difficult situation. And so I wrote this book as basically like a reference guide for each type. So outlining what is the type one's core motivation, their deepest fears, what's their defense mechanism, how are they going to show up with their communication, what's going to be the quickest way to trigger them, what are the things that they really deep down want to hear, and then also outlining some ways that each of the types can interact with each other that can cause conflict and can cause really positive interactions as well. So it's meant to be something that you can, Wednesday at 3, flip it open and say, "Oh, I had that really horrible conversation with Stacy, and I'm sitting down and I'm getting this insight I needed. I showed up in this way. We had this interaction. These are the stories I'm telling myself, and now I can make a better move forward and really work on those underlying stories that each of us are telling ourselves." So it's meant to be this great reference tool for people in those busy days.
Sounds great. Now, what is the book called?
It's called Enneagram in the Workplace, and you can find it on Amazon. That's where it's being published through, so it's easy place to find.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, tell me the services that you provide. What type
Right.
of
So
service?
I absolutely. So I provide individual coaching, so with team leaders, small business owners, as well as team workshops. So I can come in and I can do presentations about what the Enneagram is and do kind of a group typing. Or I can do, if you have like a leadership team, do individual typing and coaching with each of those team leaders, and then group facilitation as well. So I can come in and kind of help the team leadership or small business owners and team leaders as well.
Oh, that's very cool. So you could do lots of exercises to really teach them and really open their eyes to all these different types and how to react and how to communicate and really develop a strong team of employees that will work together and really, put 100% in and really be happy with who they work with, where they work, and have, a good and happy, a strong mentality when they go to work and when they come home and so forth. That's awesome.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, where can I find you on the website?
So I have a website called EnneagramReflections.com, and that has all of my services as well as my book on there, some of the podcasts that I've been on. You can find more information about me as well as a blog that I write about different Enneagram topics that could be helpful for you if you've started your Enneagram journey and you're like, "What do I do with this?" So you can go on there and get some good resources for that as well.
I love it. Now, if you had to take everything we talked about today and you wanted to emphasize on some important factors, what would be some things you'd like to emphasize on?
I know I've said it a few times, but with the Enneagram, the best place to start is with you. If you're interested in using the Enneagram anywhere in your life, whether your relationship, with your parenting, with your teams, whatever it is, the best place to start, the most profitable, biggest bang for your buck, start with you. Figure out who you are. Why do you show up the way you do? What makes you upset? What makes you just get going in the morning? That's going to be the best place to start. So self-awareness and choosing to show up in a better way, that's always going to be the best place to start. I would say that's my biggest takeaway the whole
I
thing. Yeah.
love it. I love it. I think I'm going to get your book because I've always been intrigued with that. I love it. It's on point when you talk about the different types and learning how to understand each type, because at first they taught you the four types, but now I see there's more than four types. There's nine types. So that's even better to, really understand, fully understand which types, are the way they are and how to deal with each type. So that's amazing. I love it. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
This has been amazing, Kimberly. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we go? Because this has been truly amazing. I really enjoyed this conversation.
I think the only thing I would say is, stay curious. Get out there, start, like you had said, there's lots of personality typing systems out there. There's Myers-Briggs, there's DISC, there's StrengthFinders, there's Colby, there's the Enneagram. Get curious and find something that works for you because it's going to make a big difference for your workplace.
Oh, I love it. That's so true. Oh my God. Kimberly, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I hope you'll come back. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me, Stacey. It's such a pleasure.
Oh, same here. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.